The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Wednesday, October 17th. I'm Jade.
And I'm Sean. Today we'll be focusing on one story about a couple musicians who are doing some charitable giving of their own.
And we'll also dive into a very strange story involving an actor, Courtney Love, and a death threat. But first, it's time to check out today's music news headlines. A 29-year-old man is currently in custody following the vandalism of the David Bowie statue located outside the Friars Music Club, where Bowie debuted as Ziggy Stardust. This is the second time that it's been vandalized. The first instance of vandalism happened back in March, shortly after the statue was unveiled, with the words, "Feed the Homeless Instead," spray painted on it. This time, it was just splashed with blue paint. There is a feeling in the neighborhood and in the community that instead of putting up this statue, they should be doing something else for the community. Plus, apparently, the statue plays Bowie's music once every hour, and they're not super pleased with that.
I can imagine that being one of those things that attracts the right kind of tourists where people go, oh, this feels good. But if it's actually in your neighborhood and your neighborhood is hurting in more significant ways, even if the money's coming from, you know, crowdfunded stuff, I can imagine feeling a certain way about a big attraction coming to a neighborhood that maybe has bigger issues.
Just yesterday here on the podcast, we were discussing the soundtrack album being a thing of the past, how Spotify is kind of taking over that spot. Well, apparently, no one gave the memo to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because the soundtrack to the 1990 live-action film is coming out. And even more old school, it's only being released on vinyl. The release will feature the original score by composer John Duprez, whose other work includes original scores for A Fish Called Wanda and Spamalot. In addition to being remixed and remastered, the deluxe vinyl will also include artwork by Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles co-creator Kevin Eastman.
I love this movie, but it makes me think we've reached peak vinyl. I can't imagine a situation where I'd go, you know what, I just really want to check out side B of this particular soundtrack.
Yes, because if you were looking for the big hits of the movie, I'm thinking of the MC Hammer track, This Is What We Do. You're not going to find it on this. This is only the original score for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live-action movie. So if you go deep on that, this is the perfect holiday present for you. 100 lucky Mumford & Sons fans and a couple random strangers passing by were treated to a live performance from the band as they recorded a music video for their song Guiding Light. So the video was filmed on Saturday, September 22nd, outside the Tate Modern on the south bank of the River Thames in central London. Mumford & Sons invited 100 fans to take part in a rehearsal that morning, and then they all got bussed out to this courtyard, and they filmed the band performing a couple of songs. The fans were singing along and dancing, and that's pretty much the gist of the music video. It's kind of this black and white look at the band performing and people singing along. Kind of cool. They actually put into the mix some of the fans singing.
'Cause even when there is no star in sight, you'll always be my only guiding light.
A number of musicians are turning their attention towards charitable causes across the past couple weeks. James Taylor, in particular, is focusing his effort on his hometown of New Bern, North Carolina. New Bern sustained more than $100 million in damage during Hurricane Florence. And right now, Taylor is imploring his fan base to make donations, and he's putting his own money on the table.
James Taylor here at my home with Carolina in my mind, and with a simple request for you wherever you are.
There is something really to admire about an artist who not just writes a song like he has about Carolina and how much he loves and appreciates it, but then going a step further and saying, you know what, I really do want to give back and I want to do it in a real way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, James Taylor has some money, but artists seem to be disproportionately charitable in a way that makes me really proud to be part of the music community, because obviously there's a lot of bankers from North Carolina and I'm sure a lot of them are doing great things, but musicians can attract attention, can get onto a podcast about what they're doing, and then direct the finances of so many more people to do something good. So North Carolina is hurting, and I'm really impressed that James Taylor is doing something awesome about it.
Using your own voice and kind of elevating the cause in a bigger way.
There's another interesting story about something that's also charitable, although a little more specifically focused on documenting the history of an important part of our society. So do you know Bonnie Prince Billy, Will Oldham?
Folk music. Yeah, kind of heart and soul in the indie folk world.
Yes, and he himself is like really hard to be a fan of because a lot of times he takes his music off of, you know, streaming sites and things like that. But he's actually doing the voiceover work for a documentary about the Louisville Public Library system called Our Library.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, I mean, the basic thing is that libraries are one of these few public institutions that are generally positive. It's not politically charged the way a lot of places are. He just wanted to lend his voice to this. And he has, I know from his singing voice, probably one of those perfect voiceover voices where you go, oh man, this is going to sound incredible and stately and kind of Southern.
Yeah, deep and meaningful.
Yes. So suddenly I'm interested in the Louisville Public Library system just because Will Oldham's going to be a part of it.
Theft of an extremely valuable guitar. Betrayal, kidnapping, and Courtney Love. No, that is not the plot of some new movie. It's all part of this new lawsuit being lodged by Isaiah Silva. That's the ex-husband of Frances Bean Cobain, daughter of Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain. Silva has accused Courtney Love's manager and this Riverdale actor. If you watch the show, it's the updated Archie, sort of noir Archie show featuring this guy, Ross Butler, and they've named a couple other people in this case as well, for conspiring to break into his house in 2016 in an attempt to kill him and steal the acoustic guitar that Kurt Cobain once played on Nirvana's 1993 MTV Unplugged performance. Butler and Lufty are denying all charges and asking for all claims to be dismissed in this case. They said that the reason why they were over at this guy's house, and I'm talking about Isaiah Silva again, the ex-husband of Frances Bean Cobain, was because Frances Bean sent them a text message and it sounded a little distressed. So they went over just simply to talk to him. There was never any intention to steal anything. But this guitar in question, it's Kurt Cobain's 1959 Martin D. 18E guitar. It's estimated to be worth millions. And it has been a constant contentious point in the divorce between Frances Bean Cobain and Isaiah Silva. Silva says she gave it to him as a wedding present, and the guitar was granted to Silva in their May divorce settlement, but it keeps coming back to this, and more stories keep coming out. But it is just one of those stories that leaves you scratching your head and kind of thinking, is this a made-for-TV movie? What's going on?
This didn't have me scratching my head thinking that. This had me going, how old am I that Frances Bean Cobain has been married and divorced? And the last time I thought about her, I think she was 4 years old. And so that's a little bit of a head scratcher for me. But also, even if this is agreed to in the divorce, isn't this something where the guitar goes back to the family? Like, you know, I had a girlfriend. We broke up. I got to keep a mini dorm fridge, you know, and that
very important to you in your life. Yes.
Even her mom said, yeah, just let Sean keep it. I'm sorry it didn't work out. This is a guitar worth millions and obviously something that I don't think anybody's going to sell. Frances Bean Cobain probably wants to be around that guitar for her whole life. Even if the law doesn't say he has to, I think he should be giving it back.
Yeah, Courtney Love has basically said, this is our family heirloom. Can we please have it back? But as of now, it's not going back to the Cobain family. But, you know, just to kind of wipe that entire taste out of our mouth, I think we should go back to that Nirvana 1993 MTV Unplugged performance and this cover of David Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World. For today's viral clip, I picked something that took me to Uncanny Valley, and maybe it'll take you there too. A robot dog dancing better than any of us. Boston Dynamics, if you've ever seen any of their videos, create these robots with long limbs. This one, they're considering their robot dog. Its name is Spot. And to demonstrate Spot's stability, they released this video of Spot dancing to the Glee cast's cover of Bruno Mars's Uptown Funk. Sean, have you watched this video?
I have watched this, but you've already said something factually inaccurate. You said that it can dance better than all of us. That dog could maybe dance better than you or Jay Gabler, but that dog has nothing on me. Saturday night, we in the spot. Don't believe
And that's today's music news. You can see that Dancing Robot video and decide for yourself if it's a better dancer than you are. And you can read more about all of today's stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jade.
I'm Sean.
And our producer today is Cecilia Johnson. Don't forget to tell your friends about The Current's Music News podcast and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And check back in tomorrow for more music news. In my cup, put some liquor-